Salutations, respected viewers. It's George from Ireland. So welcome back to the channel. And it's a belated happy birthday to Jimmy Carter, who was president of the United States from 1977 to 1981. He's a Democrat, and he lost his re-election bid in November 1980, defeated by Ronald Reagan, a Republican. And now there was stagflation under Carter, but it was also the Iran hostage crisis that sunk him. Remember the Islamic Revolution in Iran, the beginning of 1979, and several months later, some supporters of the Islamic Revolution, in particular, they burst into the U.S. Embassy. The U.S. Marine Guards, not sure whether to open a fire or not. They're hugely outnumbered by mostly unarmed people. If you kill unarmed people, are you in the wrong? Anyway, they didn't fire. Right decision, wrong decision, debatable. But then it overpowered dozens of Americans held hostage for about a year and a half, for 444 days. Obviously, the hostage takers didn't, in at the beginning, announce we're going to hold them for 444 days. That's how, and that was really, that really dragged down Jimmy Carter's approval ratings. How to get them out, didn't want to make crime pay, but to reward by rewarding the Islamic Republic of Iran for this. On the other hand, were you going to get them out alive if you didn't make some concessions, freezing Iranian assets abroad, but willing to give back their assets in return from the hostages, a failed rescue mission, and so on. So unfortunately, that marred Carter's presidency, and that dragged him down when there was obviously so much else that was going on. And yes, it was bad for the roughly 50 Americans who were hostages, but what about the, say, 250 million who were not? So he's the 39th president of the United States. He was the most recent one to come from Georgia. And yeah, he's recently turned 100. So no US president has ever lived to such an advanced age, though several have lived into their 90s. So he's born in Plains, Georgia. So his dad was a farmer. And they also point out he was the first US president to be born in a hospital. You might say, what? Where are the others? Because remember, people are usually born at home because it's obviously pregnancy, childbirth is not a disease. What's a hospital got to do with it? You know, for millions of years, women have been giving birth at home and helping each other, and midwives were people who were just informally designated midwives, learnt on the job. So he was of largely English stock. Anyway, so he lived in a very small town, and his father had a shop as well as owning farms. And so Jimmy Carter, he moved around a lot. So the times were tough in the American South. Remember, it was the Great Depression when he was a teenager. And obviously, this had a major impact on him. So, yeah. Anyway, then he joined the United States Navy. It was the beginning of the Second World War. Went to the Naval Academy, and that's how he got a free education. Though he was a white growing up in the American South, he eschewed racialism. I remember frank racist attitudes were prevalent in the state of Georgia when he's growing up. Don't forget, Georgia had been a slave state. Georgia had been one of the linchpins of the Confederacy. And the state was often festooned with Confederate flags. People think there's our heritage. People his age often say it was their great grandparents who'd fought in this war, and so on. So many of the important events of the U.S. civil rights movement took place in President Carter's native state. So there he was. He got a degree from the U.S. Naval Academy because there's a proper academic education they have. But so far as I know, he didn't actually fight in the Second World War. By the time he finished the U.S. Navy, the war was largely over. Yeah. Anyway, so he got married quite young. He's had children. And he remained in the Navy until well after the war. So it was not just, he didn't just do it for education or whatever. So it involved the nuclear submarines and so on. So yeah, he finally left the Navy in the mid-1950s. He'd been involved for something like 15 years and then moved back to Georgia, was elected to the Georgia State Legislature. And one of the hot topics was the desegregation of schools. So, and he was definitely said, no, of course, children should mingle with other races. Segregation is an abomination. And he was a vociferous admirer of President John F. Kennedy, whose presidency coincided with Jimmy Carter's foray into the Georgia State Senate. So then, even though he'd been in the State Senate a short time, that's when he made a gubernatorial run. that is to win the governorship of his state. But and he failed a couple of times, but then finally in 1971 he won the governorship, and it was really on an anti-racism ticket, which was a courageous thing to do. And here's part of the Democrats. A lot of them in the 1950s were overt racists, and the Republicans were seen as more anti-racist. And obviously by the 1970s, the white supremacist element in the Democrats had been far from purged. Anyway, so he had a very difficult financial situation to sort out when he was there. And the 1976, he decided he was going to seek the presidency against that Joni chap never elected by the people or even the Electoral College the presidency. That's Gerald Ford, because you remember Spiro Agnew, the vice president, he'd resigned as vice president, some scandal. And then Richard Nixon was brought down by the Watergate scandal, stood down. And so that's why Gerald Ford, who'd been put in by the United States Congress as vice president, was elevated to the presidency. Anyway, he was defeated in 76. So Jimmy Carter came in. It was a balanced ticket. It was him and Walter Mondale. He's from one of the northern states. It was partly, despite his name, of Norwegian stock. Anyway, so he was successful, and he thought that there was too much inequality between the races seen, between the rich and the poor, and so on, but he could make life much better. Anyway, so he was seen as a real outside candidate, but he did win. You know, he was mocked with Jim Hu. So came across as an ordinary, unpretentious chap, certainly honest and honorable, but loathed by some. Okay, so he won, but not by a huge margin, obviously. And the Democrats won all the southern states in those days. This is before, you know, guns and a child's right to life were that much of an issue. The United States Supreme Court had correctly decided Roe versus Wade a little bit earlier, pretending that murder is somehow private. No, it's not. Okay, but he had a good relationship with Gerald Ford, who's his predecessor, and that's why the transition was smooth. So the energy crisis was a major problem because of sort of the, you know, the Arab countries had cut off oil to punish the United States for backing the illegal occupation of Palestine. So that was a big problem because almost everyone had cars. And the Congress was often in Republican hands, otherwise fairly hostile. So economic difficulties, rising unemployment, runaway inflation. He tried to deregulate things to help, and he wanted to have some sort of universal health insurance. It didn't get anywhere. So, but he did manage to broker peace between Egypt and the State of Israel. And he wanted the Shah of Iran to stay there, saying he's a symbol of, stability in the region. He wanted to ameliorate relations with the People's Republic of China, somewhat successful in this one. And there's a time of detente in the Cold War. He very much opposed the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan and so on. So some critical decisions were made under him, but he was defeated by President Reagan. "There you go again," he said, sort of mockingly. So, but he's the rest of his life, he's devoted to good causes to try and ensure there is democracy and so on. He wrote a very well-received, thoughtful book, The Blood of Abraham, about the Arab-Israeli conflict, saying they're all the stock of Abraham. So that's him. I wish him long life when he's alive, but, you know, he was evil in some ways. Though he taught Sunday school, that certainly doesn't make him a particularly good person. You think of some of the things he did in foreign policy abroad. Right. Well, anyway, thank you for watching my channel. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon. Donate to PayPal, George Callahan 79@gmail.com. Toodaloo.